So that's why it's freedom is such an important principle to make this key work, and to give us power to make our words to give our words power. So that's really an important principle. Oh, I made a note to myself and I can't read it. Maybe it'll come to me. I was trying to write on my laptop and I wrote really bad. Another thing which is interesting, it says in the Bible that God told Adam to go name the animals. What did he tell Adam to name the animals? Why give the animals names? And he not only named the animals, he named his children. Cain and Abel, and then children were named after that. Now the interesting thing about the names in the Bible and among many primitive peoples, and American Indians also, is the name represented what the person was to become. Abraham means the father of the nation. David means beloved of God, and Abraham was named that before he became a father of a nation, but he was named Abraham and then later became the father of a nation. David was named David and then later become beloved of God. And you look through all these names in the Bible, Jacob had his name changed to Israel, which means to prevail as God, and he prevailed like a God. Moses means being drawn out of the water. So, you know, that didn't really fit his destiny so much. I guess, but it was descriptive of what happened to him. So in the old days, they often named people names that told that the parents wanted the kid to become. And then, same thing with American Indian. If they wanted the kid to be able to run fast like a bear, they'd name Running Bear. So they name him Running Bear, and they expect the kid to be able to run like a bear and be powerful like a bear. Or naming Gray Wolf, they expect him to be quick like a wolf or something like that. So these primitive people, they name their kids a certain name because they realize that words have power. Words have power, so they name them names of power. They bestowed on their kid a name, which was bestowing on them a power that they wanted the kid to assume. And often it happened. Most of these Indians, when they grew up, kind of grew into their names, so their names were kind of fitting. And most of the Hebrew prophets were named names that were symbolic of something that represented their talents or abilities, and they grew into these abilities. Why do you suppose that happened? Is it because the word is God and what God speaks is true and it happens? So if the parent names the kid Abraham, the father of a nation, he expects the kid to really develop into something great. And he becomes the father of a nation, or David being the beloved or whatever, or Jesus being the Savior, Jesus Christ being the anointed to deliver. Peter being the rock. And all these names represent what the people became. So if the parent really believes in the word that he bestows upon a child, then that creates a thought that the child will pick up as he grows up and he grows into the name. If the name is a word of power. There's certain words that are called words of power by D.K. And a word of power is a word that when it is spoken, it registers very powerfully with the mind. So when it registers then powerfully with the mind, then it has an influence on us so we can then have power to materialize it. Can anyone think of a word of power that is in our English language?
Free?
Peace.
Peace, okay. A word of secret power is usually, though, a phrase.
Oh. And the truth will set you free.
In esoteric language, a word is not just a word. It can be a phrase, or it can be even a whole book. But quite often it refers to a phrase.
Like Sons of Liberty.
Sons of Liberty, or Let Freedom Ring, or something like that.
United We Trust.
Let's roll. United We Stand. Anything else?
In God We Trust.
In God We Trust.
I'm going to count to three.
Live free or die.
Give me liberty.
Yeah.
A word of oppressive mommy power.
Yeah, we have these words of power that our popular phrases are actually words of power, because they're popular because they register in the subconscious mind of the human race. And so when we say them, then it has a powerful effect on our fellow men and women. And by using these words of power that already register in the human consciousness, then if we use them wisely, people will recognize them, and they will have a powerful influence on them. So a word of power is like a name, and a name itself is a word of power. And many people have a feeling that they should change their name. Like Sharon had this powerful feeling about her name. She felt that, was her original name Sharon, or Sharon?
Sharon.
Was she named Sharon?
Her first name was Sharon.
Okay, she was named Sharon, and that name just didn't feel right to her. And then one day she heard the name Sharon, and she says, this name feels right. And so she assumed that name. And many people feel this way. They feel that their names are incorrect, and so they change their name. Or some people will change the spelling of the name, because according to numerology, each name is reduced to a certain number, and that gives a certain vibration that has a certain influence. And if you just change one letter of your name, you change the number of your name, and it can change your destiny, is the theory.
Well, I made an Excel spreadsheet that'll do that. You
type really?
In a name, and it'll tell you what the number is.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Joseph, and that means added upon, or he will have increase. So it means that if I'm true to my name, it means I will grow a lot during this lifetime, because I'm supposed to have increase.
Actually, your whole name, Joseph John Dewey, makes a master number. I think it's 44. I can't remember which one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the master numbers are 11 and 22.
Yeah, I figured it out. I can't remember what it was. It seemed like...
I believe your master number is 44, Alchemist.
I'll have to check that out again. Been a long time since I've done
that. That's your whole name. That's all three names.
Yeah.
Together. If you do the individual names, they're not master numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole name together is.
Larry, do you want to share, since he was talking about Indians and what they mean?
Indian names.
Well, do you know some about Indian names?
Name.
Well, I don't know. My great-grandmother was named Running Water. And then she was adopted at about 4 years old in 1850, and she became Sarah Ellen Smith. And but then when she got married and went to Long Beach, California, she couldn't tell her neighbors that she was Indian, because the Indian Wars in some places were still going on.
Yeah.
And if she told anybody that she was Cherokee, they would literally burn their house down and run them out of town.
Really?
Yeah. It was not, you couldn't
what time
reveal that you, this was, would have been 1870, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't even tell her children, because they might tell the other kids at school, and then they'd be in hot water. And so our family didn't even know that our great-grandma was full-blood Cherokee. Until about 30 years ago, my dad's cousin was doing genealogy stuff, and he ran across this information. He found the adoption papers and stuff. She was adopted by a guy in Missouri named Joseph Smith in 1850. Yeah. It's the other Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
And he was a Methodist minister. Anyway, so she couldn't even tell her family who she was.
Oh,
and when I was a kid, my brother was born on my sixth birthday, so I was taken away with my aunt and uncle, who were Assembly of God minister, to the Papago Indian Reservation, and I had 10 little Indians at my sixth birthday, and they thought I was plump, fat, white boy.
Really?
And I have an Indian name from those guys, and my Indian name is Watermelon.
Watermelon.
Yeah.
It's an homage to your grandmother, Running Water. Watermelon.
Oh, you're right. Never thought of that. There is a connection there.
Mm-hmm.